in the 90th Psalm, in the 12th verse, you'll find my thought for this morning. It says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Now let me say that again. I want you to get that thought well in your mind. It's the basis of all the remarks I'll make this morning, I think. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In other words, teach us that our days have a number. We're not here to stay. We're just passing through here. And our days have a number. In the 7th chapter of Job, I believe it is, in verses 6 and 7, he says, "For my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope." Now that doesn't mean that we live our lives without hope. And it doesn't mean that if things are bad today, we have no hope that they'll be any better than what they are. But it simply means that we have no hope of staying here. "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope." No hope of staying here. No one's ever been here yet and stayed. So why should we imagine that maybe we'll stay? We aren't here to stay. The song says, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." We're just on a journey through here. And at the end of this journey is eternity. Somewhere along some of the highways, there's a sign like this. Now we often see distance markers on the highway, and there'll be a name of a town up there and a number after it, so many miles from this point to this town. Well, at this particular marker, there are three or four towns mentioned and a number after each one, indicating the distance from that point to those various towns. Then underneath them is one that says eternity, straight ahead. There's no number on it. Nobody knows any number for that. But it's straight ahead. And we're all going that way.
Amen.
David said to his son Solomon, in giving his charge to him, he said, "When only a few days are come, I'll go the way of all the earth." Everybody that's ever been here yet has passed on. And we are in the process of passing on. Teach us that our days have a number. Help us to live our lives in that realization that our days are numbered, and that our last day will be here before we're aware of it, perhaps. Before we're conscious of it. Our last day will be here. I remember mentioning to you last Sunday the admonition my father used to give me. He says, son, live every day just like it was your last day.
Amen.
Well, he knew my last day would come, and he knew that I wouldn't know when that last day would be. There wouldn't be any sign on it when it dawned that morning, this is your last day. It just dawned like other days. And he didn't want me to get slipped up on.
Yes.
Teach me that my days have a number. The psalmist said in the 39th Psalm, he said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the number of my days. Still praying that he might be conscious all the time that his days have a number. And we're not here to stay. And I'm thinking this morning of the value of time. The importance of time. And we're creatures of time. All of us are. Everything that transpires in our lives, time is of essence in it. So time is important all the time. But there are those times when we become acutely aware of the importance of time and of its value. I have read of incidents where someone stricken with a strange malady and there was no remedy immediately available for it, but somewhere yonder they knew of a serum that could be used to counteract this thing. And in such cases, they have gotten the fastest plane they could get to fly that serum from that place to where this person was, and it might be applied to them in time. Time was of essence in those things. Speed was important. A life hanging in the balance, and here we've got something that might save the life. When I was a young man, I was worldly minded and foolish, like many other young people, and I loved the things of this world and different activities of this world. And one of the things that I loved was football. Well, I loved to watch football being played, and I loved to play it myself. But I noticed this. Maybe a team would have some trick plays, but they were dangerous. And when it's getting right down to the closing minutes of the game, and this team was a few points behind, but if they could, they had the ball, and if they could make a touchdown, they'd win the game. They just threw all caution to the wind and just pulled out all the trick plays they had in a desperate effort to make that touchdown before the gun went off. Time was important. Just a few minutes or seconds left in the game. And if they didn't make the touchdown, they'd lose the game, and if they did, they'd win it. So they was trying everything available to them. pulling all the tricks out of the bag. In a desperate effort to make the touchdown. Time was of essence. It was important. And they'd reel those plays off just one right after the other. Then I've seen them in the stall. When they was ahead and they had the ball, they'd just stall around and kill time and so on to try to let the time go by and not let the other team get the ball. Now, I'm thinking of a young lady. I knew her real well. She was one of the saints' daughters in the congregation back at Shawnee, Oklahoma, where I grew up. And she decided, she was an unmarried girl, never had been married, but she was making plans to marry a divorced man. Her mother knew that wasn't right, and she did too. And so my mother and her mother and some of the other saints, they just got deeply concerned about this, and this girl was rebellious, and she wanted them to attend to their own business and let her alone. She'd live her own life and make her own plans, and other folks just keep their hands off her. That's her attitude. She's going to do just what she wanted to do. So she was moving right on in that direction, and her mother and my mother and others of the saints praying all the time about this. And Maud fell sick. Desperately sick. She was sick to die, and she did die. They were praying for the Lord to break that thing up some way, and he did by taking this girl out of the world. And all the afternoon before she passed away late in the evening, my mother was there and maybe others of the saints were there, and my mother had been helping take care of her. She lay in a coma that afternoon. The doctor came and saw she was drawing near to the end, so he just stayed. He sat down there by her bedside and just stayed there. She stayed in this coma throughout the afternoon. But late in the evening, she came out of it in a start and threw her arms up and began to cry and wail and pray. And the doctor thought that was death, and he's preparing to give her a shot. But she said, "No, Dr. Norvell," said, "you just stand back." Said, "you just leave me alone." Said, "I'm dying and I'm not ready to die." She said, "I'm going to meet God in just a few minutes and I'm not ready to meet him." Said, "you just stand back." Well, when he saw what the situation was, he did just stand back and watch the drama unfold in front of him. Maybe he'd never seen anything like that before. You don't see things like that much anymore. They have them in the hospital, and when they approach that time, they just dope them up so heavy they just drift on out and never know when they pass. We don't see much deathbed scenes anymore or have many deathbed testimonies. I remember when Brother Stover and I were standing by the bedside of Brother Spohr at the time he passed, and there was, I think, a niece of his by marriage, a registered nurse. She'd been there taking care of him for the last few days. Well, he was slipping away that morning, and we were standing there by his bed. That nurse said if we had him in the hospital now, we'd be giving him something. That's the way they do them. And they never know when they go out themselves. They just drift out under the power of heavy sedatives and are gone. There are no scenes in the hospitals like this that my mother witnessed that afternoon and or evening, and that doctor did. But time was important to this girl now. She said, I'm going to meet God in just a few minutes, and I'm not ready to meet him. She said, now just leave me alone. Now there was this girl, that doctor, witnessing this drama unfolding right there before him, a soul keenly alert now, wide awake. All the camouflage taken off and all of the cover-up of human reasoning and excuses and everything. A soul just naked and bare facing eternity and seeing what it meant. And there she was. And she just cried and prayed like you seldom hear anybody pray, my mother said. And finally she just dropped back on her pillow and fell asleep. Was gone, but she said, well, now I'm dying, but I'm going to heaven to be with Mother and Sister Wilson and God. She'd had a strong bitterness against my mother, didn't want a thing to do with her. But the love of God had touched her heart and changed all of that. And she said, now I'm going to heaven to be with Mother and Sister Wilson and God. Time was important to that girl. It had been just that important all the time, but the circumstance made her conscious of it. Time's important to you and me. It's all important. Important all the time. But we just drift along. We're not conscious of the importance of time and the value of time till something happens that stirs our consciousness and awakes us to the importance of time and the value of time. But let me tell you this, when the clock is ticking out the closing minutes of your life, time will be valuable. Amen. It'll be important. I worked with a man. He was a foreman on the road and bridge crew in the county, and I worked in the office, kept the books and records there, and he was in and out of our office every little while, every few days anyway. And we were going to have a revival meeting at the chapel. So I had some handbells struck and I had some in my desk. And as the boys come in, I was giving out these handbills and talking to them about coming to the meeting. Well, Dan Templeton, he was a road maintainer operator. He came in, and so I talked to him a little and handed him one of the notices, and I said, Dan, we're going to have a meeting down at the church. I'd be glad for you to come. Well, he said, I've been thinking about coming down there for quite a little while. Said, I've known you a long time, and I've been thinking about coming down there for quite a little while. And he said, I'm going to come during this meeting. Before he left, George Hatfield came in as foreman, and so I gave George a handbill of the meeting and talked to him and invited him to come, and he kind of brushed it aside this way. He said, I'll come if Dan will. Well, Dan'd already decided to come, and George said, I haven't been inside a church since I've been married. Well, I don't know how long he'd been married, but he had a grown son and he was married. I said, George, that's too long. It's time you was getting back into church and hearing the gospel. Oh, he said, I don't like to get ready to go to church. Said, when I come in of an evening, I just don't like to get ready. And I said, well, we're just a bunch of common people down there. Come with your boots on. We don't care. You'll be welcome. And he said, well, that's probably the way I'll come if I come at all. And I said, that's fine. Well, all right. He said, if Dan will come, I'll come. They went on out. Dan told me later that as they walked down the front steps of the courthouse, he said to George, said, George, I'll tell you what I'll do. Said, I'll just bet you $5 that the next time you go into church, they carry you in there in a box. George said, no, said, I'm going to go down there to Willie's church. Said, I've known Willie a long time, and I never heard him preach. And said, I'm going down to Willie's church during this meeting. And they parted when they got out to their cars and went their ways. Meeting started on Sunday, and this was Friday. And I went back to the office after I'd been home for lunch, and just as I walked in, the phone rang. And I answered the phone, and they wanted Mr. Stout, who was my boss, and about that time he walked in, and so I just turned it over to him, and he talked a little bit, and he said, hung up the phone, and he said they've had an accident down on George's job. And so he just turned on his heel, and out he went to go down there. Hadn't been gone very long. The phone rang again, and I answered the phone, and it was Stout. He said it got George. George was operating the concrete mixer that day, and some gravel and rock got in the gears down there. And he reached over there to get them out, and in doing so, he brushed against the clutch lever, throwed the thing in gear, and the skip came up, and the drum was going, and it caught his head between the skip and the drum and just crushed his head and ground the side of it off. He never knew what happened to him. Well, now what I think about his case and many others is that if George had known that was his last day when he got up that morning, I'll promise you that he would have done different to what he did.
Yes.
He probably wouldn't have gone to work at all that morning. He'd have been looking me up. I was the man he knew. He'd have been looking me up to pray for him. This is my last day. And I'll be going out to meet God before this day is over. And he'd have spent his day getting things in shape to go. But he didn't know it was his last day. You don't know when your last day will be. But just teach us to number our days. Teach us to live our lives in that realization that our days have a number. Time is important all the time. Just as important one time as it is another. We're just not aware of it as much. When everything is going according to schedule, as we are when things get upset. But time is always important. And time passes rapidly. And our days go by, and you can count number every day off when it's gone, when you go to say your prayers or whether you say them or not. At the close of that day, you can just count that day off. I've already lived this. I'll never live this one again. I've got one day less to live now than I had this morning. My father used to say, if you're living for God and on the straight and narrow way that leads to eternal life, you're one day nearer heaven today than you've ever been before. But if you're on the other way that leads to eternal destruction, you're one day nearer hell today than you've ever been before. It's just one day less that we have to live. Number your days off. There's one thing certain, as none of us have as much time left as we had when we started. And we're away on down the journey of life, most of us in here. And time is important. We have Jesus teaching us in the 13th chapter of Luke, the first few verses there. He taught us about somebody there, or some people that come to him and brought his attention to the calamity that had befallen some certain people. And Jesus said, do you think they were sinners above all the sinners on the face of the earth? Because such things happened to them? And those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and destroyed them all, do you think they were sinners above all men that were upon the face of the earth because they suffered such calamity? He said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Well then, if they were not sinners above all other sinners, and this was just special judgment meted out to them, then what was the case here? Something terrific happened to them. Jesus said they weren't any worse than other sinners. What was the case? Time just ran out on them. Their time just ran out. And when their time ran out, things happened to them. Time's going to run out on you and me someday. Our days are numbered, and time's going to run out on you and me someday. I thought about the death rate the world over. And some years back, I got statistics on that every time the watch ticked twice, three souls went into eternity. And that would be at the rate of 90 an hour, 5,400 a day. It's much higher than that now, I'm sure. That is several years ago. But at that rate, I figured it out that New York City, the most populous center in this country, over 8 million people there then at that time, focus the whole death rate of the world right down on New York City, and it'd wipe it out to the last man, woman, and child in less than 90 days. Well, now what I know is that death traveling at that rate is going to get around where I am sometime. And it'll get around close to you. And the number of your days will be counted up. Now he said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need to get wise, folks. We need to learn some common sense. We need to face issues. People are so much concerned about this world and the things of this world and the pleasures of this world and the activities of this world. And they're all caught up and enveloped in that and sin and the pleasures of sin and all those things. They all have an end. This world has an end. Everything in it has an end. Nothing here that's going to last. Everything here is temporal. It's all transitory. It's all passing away. But you're a twofold being, an inward man and an outward man, a soul and a body. The body's a temporal thing too. But the soul is eternal. The Bible says there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. And because there is a spirit in man, we have all of this that's going on. God's word being preached, the songs being sung, and meeting houses being built where people can assemble together and hear the gospel, and the word of God going forth, and the invitation going out, we have it all. It's all because there's a spirit in man. If there were no spirit in man, we wouldn't have meeting houses, and we wouldn't have the gospel of Christ, and we wouldn't have a Redeemer, and there wouldn't be any such thing as salvation, and we wouldn't have the songs being sung, and testimonies and exhortations being given, if there were no spirit in man. And if that spirit were not an eternal part of us, we still wouldn't have any of this going on. But this is all God's effort to bring about the effects of redemption and salvation to that spirit, an inward man. Wisdom would dictate that first things come first. Jesus taught us this. He said in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. The salvation of a person's soul is the paramount issue of this life. It's the most important thing, and wisdom dictates that we look after first things first. Not put it off. People say, well, when I get this done, when I get that done, when I get older, or when I get things shaped up better, I'll serve God then. Well, first things come first in a life dominated by wisdom. And wisdom dictates that we keep up to date with God. We keep our lives in shape, that we shape up as we go along. And when that last day comes, we'll be ready for it. The last day will come. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. God help you and me to have some good common sense. And be directed by wisdom in our activities and in our choices and decisions in life. And do the things that we'll be happy to be found doing on our last day. Amen. When our last day comes. When time runs out on us. Time has run its course like it did with these people in the 13th chapter of Luke. There wasn't a thing connected with that I could see. Only time just ran out on them. Jesus said they weren't any worse sinners than anybody else. It wasn't on that account that these calamities come to them. But time just ran out on them. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We might stand now and sing that song, Have You Any Time for Jesus? And if the Lord deals with anybody's heart and they want to come and pray, anybody that doesn't have the victory in your life, anybody that has victories that you're seeking and haven't been able to gain for yourself, or deliverances that you're seeking and haven't been able to obtain by yourself, and you need an agreement of prayer. Anybody that isn't up to date with God, anybody that isn't saved, and God draws upon your heart along that line, feel free and welcome to come to this altar of prayer while we sing this song.